This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, chalkstream rivers are the jewel in the crown of our natural heritage here in Hertfordshire. Rarer than tigers, we're lucky to have these wildlife-rich rivers weaving through our countryside. The downside is that they are facing multiple threats from abstraction, pollution, invasive species, all sorts of other things that we inflict on them. However, there are plenty of positive things that are happening around Hertfordshire's chalk streams. A couple of years ago, Josh Carnes of the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust explained how water voles had been returned to the River Wear. And last month, we heard about Rediscovering the Colne, the multi-partner project to not just rejuvenate the River Colne, but also our relationship with it. Do check out the podcast page of mix92.6.com to hear the shows where we hear about both of those great projects. Now, this week, we're travelling further north in Hertfordshire to hear about the River Hiss and its tributaries. Like so many of our chalkstream rivers, it has a dedicated bunch of volunteers, the River Hiss Conservation Group, advocating for the river as well as working on practical tasks to keep it in good shape. I was joined by resident of Ickleford near Hitchin, Claire Gooden. She's a member of the River Hiss Conservation Group, and she started by telling me a bit about where we'd find the River Hiss and its tributaries.
The River Hiss is a chalk stream and it rises in Chalton, which is just south of Hitchin. And it has two tributaries, the River Purwell and the River Orton. So it rises in Chalton, comes up into Hitchin and goes through the centre of Hitchin. And then the Purwell joins it and then the Orton joins it as it goes through Ickleford and out north, up to the River Ivel.
And from there, where does the water go to?
The Hiss joins the River Ivel. That river then goes into the Great Ouse, and then it goes out to the Wash. It is unusual. Most of the Hertfordshire chalk streams go south to the Thames Basin, but because of geology, these three rivers up here go north, and therefore they're north flowing and slightly different to the other ones in Hertfordshire.
Yeah, it's an interesting difference. So, as you've said, the Hiss flows through Hitchin and they have to do an annual clear out of the river there. Can you just tell us what's done and why it's necessary?
Yes, the River Hiss flows into Hitchin and the centre of Hitchin, there's a lovely area where there are geese and ducks, and it's like an amenity area where people can sit on the grass that goes down to the water, and it's right beside the marketplace. And so it's quite a feature of Hitchin. And the water there is actually a balancing tank. So the river flows into the balancing tank, which is a big area of water. And once a year, it needs clearing out because it collects a lot of rubbish, litter, also sediment. And in order to keep the river flowing well, they need to clean it out. So they drain it. It takes about a week to do the work, clear it all out, and then they let the river flow back in and off it goes again in a cleaned up state.
So when the clear out is done, is there a lot of silt? Is there a lot of litter? You know, is it a filthy mess, I suppose?
Well, yes, it is, because automatically there's things that drop into the river or blow into the river. But also, I have to say, people are a bit naughty about their litter and they just do use the rivers rather like a drain and out of sight, out of mind.
So it sounds like a very necessary activity then. And not least, because chalkstream rivers like the River Hiss actually have lots of really quite special things living in them. Can you tell us about some of the wildlife of the Hiss?
First of all, I'd like to say chalkstreams are very rare. There are only about 200 in the whole wide world. So they are precious, and they are formed from rainwater that's filtered through chalk rock and is stored in underground aquifers. This groundwater emerges as springs, which together they form chalk streams. The term chalk stream is meaning any watercourse that is originating from chalk hills. And this term is used for streams and rivers. So they're fragile environments created by clean, clear water at a constant temperature. Therefore, it has a very special wildlife habitat and species attached to a chalk river. And from May to October, vital plants grow in the riverbed, such as starwort and water crowfoot. And they grow in clumps, and sometimes people call them living rocks, because the water has to find its way round these clumps of plants. And as the water flows faster within these small open channels, it helps keep the river's gravel beds clean and the water oxygenated. The clean gravel supports a variety of insect life, ideal conditions for fish, such as brown trout, to spawn, and the riverbed plants provide food and shelter. And in winter, the growth of aquatic and marginal plants dies away, and that allows more water to travel through the riverbeds, so the rivers can safely contain the increased amount of water that we get in the winter months. And then there are all sorts of animals around the chalk river. Because the chalk river is shallow, animals can travel through and across it very easily.
And tragically, there's lots of fabulous wildlife that is in the river. There is also some wildlife that shouldn't be in the river and therefore poses a threat to some of the wild things there. Can you explain some of those to us?
Yes, certainly. What we'd like to do is introduce water voles back into chalk rivers, but there are mink in the rivers and these need to be eradicated before we could introduce water voles back. Now, these mink, they are escapees from places where the minks were kept for their fur. They come from America and they just have spread throughout the chalk rivers, and they do actually eat everything they can find. We also have native otters in the river, but they don't affect the animals in the river as much as mink do. So mink are the main problem. We also get the signal crayfish, ones with a red spot on their claws, and they are invasive. They are huge, and they do destroy our native small grey crayfish. So those need looking for as well. There are also plants that we need to keep an eye on, because we work in the summer months at finding Himalayan balsam and orange balsam, and there's giant hogweed. These are plants that are all invasive species, which as they grow, they smother the native plants, and therefore we lose a lot of our native plants that way.
Okay, so those are quite significant challenges to the native wildlife of the river. But it's not just invasive wildlife which causes a problem to the hiss, is it? There are other problems as well. Now, a problem which faces a lot of chalk streams is abstraction of water for our taps from the bedrock that feed the rivers. Is this something that the hiss suffers from?
Yes, it is. I think all the chalk streams do suffer from the same thing as other rivers. But the chalk water is so clear and so clean, it's an obvious thing for water companies to want to use, because it'd be obviously easier to keep pure. So they do take a lot of water, and these rivers can't sustain that. And sometimes some of them do run dry in the summer because the water is taken for increased housing developments. Of course, there are more people, therefore using more water. So there are problems about that.
And how about pollution? There seems to be problems with sewage pollution, but also for chalk streams, road runoff seems to be a problem. And
definitely,
also around somewhere like Hitchin, perhaps agricultural runoff as well.
Yes, rivers are under great pressure and the pollution can be unfortunate. We do have problems sometimes with cooking oil just tipped into the river, because it's cheaper to tip it somewhere into a watercourse than it is to take it to a tip and pay for it to be disposed of properly. And oil, they can be accidental spills, or there again, they can be done on purpose. In September, we had a big chemicals spill into our river, and to watch the effect it's had on the ducks was really most distressing because they get smothered in this oil. They can't get rid of it. They come out onto the land. They try and preen themselves. By doing that, they ingest the oil. They can't then eat, and a lot of them get sick. And some of them were so covered in oil, they couldn't even fly. So it really is something that I think people need to think carefully about all the wildlife using a river. They depend on it. We should respect that. Also, yes, you mentioned the road runoff, which is a big problem. Road runoff carries rubber from rubber tires, heavy metals, anything else that comes off vehicles. It can be oil as well. We also get problems with sewerage because a lot of our sewage systems are built of Victorian pipes. If you put a lot of houses into an area, they can't cope with the sewerage that they're expected to carry.
And given how naturally clean and pure chalk stream rivers are, the effect is huge, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is huge because they don't have a huge volume of water. They're quite shallow, and therefore the effects are easily seen, and it can be very difficult for them to recover from. The only thing is they do have a nice fast, well, ours does have a nice fast flow, and it does clean itself up pretty well. But we put all these rivers under pressure by the things we put in it. I would say to anybody who's near a river, who lives near a river, don't put garden waste into a river. We find a lot of people tip their grass mowings into the river or thorns they've trimmed off their plants. And this causes not only terrible problems for the wildlife, but it causes problems for the riverbed. As I said to start with, these plants are so important in riverbeds. People think they think they're weeds, and they're not weeds. They're really important to the flow of a chalk river.
So how about the other problems that humans are causing to the river? Are there any problems just when we're out and about by the river or having fun? Or
I think one needs to learn what one's local river is all about and how important it is to look after it and respect it. I think when you're young, you know, you think of getting into a nice river and splashing about and all the rest. But things have changed for rivers these days. They need to be really cared for. And I think also people who, when they're walking their dogs, for instance, ought to be conscious of dogs going into the river. If you spray your dog with any flea treatment, if the dog goes into the river, this flea treatment is very, very serious for animals, depend on river water. Also, dogs, when they go into water, they get very excited and they can do great damage to wildlife. I'm afraid I've seen some very distressing scenes when dogs have got into rivers when they haven't been on a lead, and they get in amongst ducks, ducklings, geese and goslings, and they go berserk. And of course, these poor animals can't leave. The little ones can't fly. I've seen a mother duck who pretended to be injured to get a dog away from where her babies were. So they are amazing, but they're under a lot of pressure. So I would say, especially with the bird nesting season, which is March to August, by law, dogs should be kept under control and kept on a footpath, because of ground nesting birds and all sorts of other animals that are nesting at this time of year. It is law that they should be under control.
Okay, well, that's definitely something to think about. We can all enjoy the countryside, but as you say, just following a few simple rules. So let's finish by talking about some of the positives. Now, you spoke there about plans to reintroduce water voles to the River Hiss. Is that likely to go ahead once the mink have been eradicated?
Yes, we do have a couple of mink traps on the river here at the moment. They're monitored and we'll keep an eye on how many mink we've got. It's difficult to tell how many mink there are in the river. But I have to say, if I can, a little bit about the volunteers who do all this work. They're a marvellous bunch. And
So this is the River Hiss Conservation Group.
That's right. So
are you a very practical group? Do you get out doing work on the river? What kind of things do you do?
Yes, we do. But we work within a wildlife calendar, which is set up by the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, because there are certain things you can do and you can't do at different times of the year. So the whole thing is controlled by what's going on with the wildlife at whatever time of year. So the main time we get into the river to do river maintenance is in the summer months, leading into the autumn as well. And we do a lot of work protecting the banks of the river and creating woody berms, they're called BERMs, which are little parts of construction that we put into the river which will then interrupt the flow. So it has to go round the berms, cleans up the bottom as it increases the flow, and then those berms will be filters and grow plants eventually, and to make the rivers wiggle. The term is now wiggling the river, which I heard on the radio the other day. It's an accepted term these days.
Just for you, why do you think that your river, the River Hiss, why do you think it's so important?
Well, it's just so beautiful and so fragile and so in need of care and attention. And I have to say that we get tremendous support from the Ickleford Parish Council and the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, because they're very keen that we should look after these rivers. And you can see from what we've said, they're under a lot of pressure and they need awareness, and we need to fight for them for the future and the present, because we've got other generations that deserve to be able to look after the rivers as well and enjoy them. And yes, we love our river, so we look after it.
Indeed, we're lucky that, the River Hiss is lucky that it's got the River Hiss Conservation Group.
But we're lucky to have it.
Claire, thank you so much for telling us about that.
It's a pleasure.
My thanks to Claire Gooden of the River Hiss Conservation Group. And it'd be great to hear from you if you're involved in work to help your local Hertfordshire chalk stream. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. And if you're interested in finding out more about some of the projects to help our rivers here in Hertfordshire, then do check out the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust's Living Rivers project. And I'll pop the link into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Not only have they got a great map showing you all that's going on, but they've also got ways that you can help out too. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.